Club Spears Broadsides, the mid-March edition in our long Sunday show. Today we're going to be running through the county camping ordinance and latest developments around the rights and needs of folks in the county who have no legal places to sleep. We're going to be reviewing and previewing the city camping ban, sleeping ban struggle. I should say the sleeping ban because we're just talking about that right. Sometimes we expand that to talk about the right of people to gasp, actually survive outside as well as fall asleep without getting ticketed. Stay with us.
Sleeping ticket in December of 1998, and you actually went to court on that ticket, right?
Yes, I did.
That was a ticket for sleeping in your vehicle up on Mission Street?
No, it was on Swift Street.
Swift Street, and it was actually the evening after the city council met and asked police to ticket only on warning and after complaint.
Yes, that's about it. It's evening or the second evening, yeah.
And the officer in question gave you a $162 ticket at that time. You went then into... You went to Danner's court, and then apparently it wasn't on the calendar, or it had been moved.
Yeah, yes, it had been moved to what's his name? I forget his name.
Salazar's court. And in this court proceeding, you asked the officer whether he had ticketed other vehicles that evening.
That's correct. That's the statement he made when he gave me the ticket, that he gave five tickets out earlier that night.
And what did he say when that was put to him?
Well, I asked a question, then the judge re-asked the question, like, did you make that comment? And the officer said no.
What was the outcome of this ticket? What was the outcome of it? Were you found guilty?
I was found guilty, and Salazar gave me 10 hours of community service.
Mm-hmm. And are you preparing to do that community service?
I'm already done with it. I'm working for Food Not Bombs.
And do you have a... do they accept Food Not Bombs for this kind of service, you know?
Well, yeah, they do, but you have to ask the judge to be able to do it for them.
I see.
So, and what he said was that you have to show proof of their nonprofit organization and proof of the hours completed.
Of course, Food Not Bombs is not a nonprofit. It is a not-for-profit. You know that. It doesn't have nonprofit status in Santa Cruz.
Oh, it doesn't.
My apologies, yeah.
At least, unless
it got it in the last 3 years. It never had it before. In order to get nonprofit status, it requires a certain investment of money and paperwork. And Food Not Bombs has never been big into the paperwork.
How about San Francisco or Santa Clara County?
You know, in San Francisco, there may be a cover group that does have some nonprofit status, although, again, they are very wary of that kind of official involvement. They tend to think, as a sort of an anarchist organization, that the grassroots approach and with as little paperwork as possible is the way to go. Have you heard of other people dealing with any sleeping tickets in court, QZ?
No, I haven't.
And have you been sleeping in your vehicle since?
Oh, yeah, every night.
In the city or outside?
In and out, you know.
And have you been further hassled?
No.
You think this is because they don't know where you are or because they don't want to hassle you?
Both.
Have you heard of other people getting tickets in the last week or two?
No, not in the last week.
And how about in the last 2 months?
No, not really.
And how about the instances of beatings of homeless people or so-called troll busting? Anything new on that?
I heard of one incident. That's about it.
And you know when that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's about 15 to...
Yeah, we don't want overlapping interviews. That was an interview with the QZ, who actually got the first recorded and, the police claim, the only recorded sleeping ticket in December, and he got it within 24 hours after the city council urged the police department not to ticket except on complaint and after warning. And there was controversy at the task force, at least among some of us, as to whether this was being done, at least by the officer in question. I think it was Officer Escalante. Not quite sure. The 10 hours of community service that QZ got as a sentence for the crime of sleeping in his vehicle is actually going to be, hopefully, cut to 8-hour maximum by the city council at the hearing they're going to have, the second reading of the city's cosmetic changes to the camping and ordinance, and I guess to sections of the sleeping ordinance as well, the sleeping sections of the camping ordinance, on March 23rd. That's Tuesday, day after tomorrow. And be on hand for that. You can get a hot meal at 6 o'clock. We're going to be serving food outside City Council. India Joe's yummy. We're not sure if it's a soup or chili or whatever it is, but it's all vegetarian and it's real tasty. And we're going to be kind of strategizing as to how to proceed with this particular City Council. Strategically, the meeting has been thrown at a time when the students aren't around by our very own Mayor Byers, so that there is less prospect of protest. I don't know if she's consciously or intentionally going for that, but it does seem very convenient. And we did ask her to put this matter off until the students returned, and she declined to do that. At least that's what I heard. I believe David Silva did that. I think it's also been requested by others. In any case, the issue will come up after oral communication, which is the public comment period. We can talk about anything not on the agenda. So if you have anything you want to say generally or specifically, even about homeless issues that aren't specifically linked to the sleeping ban changes that are being discussed, you can talk about those for 3 minutes if you line up early enough at in the oral public comment line at 7 o'clock. And then at 7:30, more or less, probably a little later, 7:45 or 8, because there's an item before that, they will come back with what's called the second reading of the changes to the camping ordinance. And the changes, as those of you know who have been following the show, are very limited. They involve lowering the fines from $162 per sleeping event, meaning every time you fall asleep, it's a $162 fine before, and after this it'll be a $54 fine, or no more than 8 hours of community service. They're dropping the maximum fine from $1,000, which was never given, of course. I think the maximum was $273 that I ever heard of, down to $54, which I suppose sounds like an improvement, but really is no improvement in terms of dealing with the civil rights issue of human beings who need sleep at night and have no legal place to sleep. A couple of other changes: you'll be able to park in a driveway for 3 days per month. I guess the other 27 or 28 days, you can, you know, stay awake. I mean, you know, keep you on your toes, so to speak. Then there's a provision that allows you to park your vehicle, if you're lucky enough to own one or get access to one, in a business parking lot with the permission of the owner of the business and the owner of the property and the tenant of the business as well. And there's some other minor changes about lowering it from a misdemeanor to an infraction, and since it's never charged as a misdemeanor in any significant way, that is very minor. And the reality is, of course, nothing is being done around the basic issue of sleeping, which is why a lot of us are going to show up, those of us who are in town, and speak out on the issue. Some of us are going to wear black. That's one thing we've considered doing. Some of us may bring along some cream pies to present to the city council. It's sort of in honor of the Biotic Baking Brigade. Very respectful presentation, of course, possibly with baker's hats, who knows. Any chefs in the listening audience who want to help with those pies, please step forward. We definitely want to have a kind of a appropriate and politically correct pie to present, particularly to those council members who believe that sleeping is some sort of disease that homeless people have that they have to be cured of. Perhaps a pie will help these folks see the light on this matter. Cream and punishment, the pie is the limit, pie in the eye, I don't know. In any case, I'm not suggesting that any kind of violent or inappropriate measures be taken. I simply suggest that, you know, a pie a day keeps the fascists away. I've often been accused of calling the city council Nazis. They are not Nazis. But it is interesting that a law which actually penalizes so necessary a thing as sleep and puts the power to make those choices in the hands of the police department does seem to me kind of, well, police statey, so to speak, and does seem directed toward poor people. And it's not fascist in the sense of a grand mufti or a corporate council, but it's fascist in the more common sense of giving the police power to repress people that shouldn't be repressed, that are just doing what they have to do, simply perhaps for the greater glory of the community or the state, which is what, of course, Italian fascism and German fascism were all about. But let's let that be put aside for the moment. In fact, let's put it all aside and take a musical break. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pier Robert Norse. This is Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides, in case I haven't said so before. It's a 2.5-hour show, runs to 1:30. And our call-in number, and we want you to call in, is 427-3772. Again, 427-3772. If you can't remember those numbers, it's easily translated into 427-FRSC, Free Radio Santa Cruz, 427-Free Radio Santa Cruz. Give us a call.
Walking down the street one day, reading the signs to pass my way, and after a while I started to see that none of those words referred to me. Goodwill towards man, all men are created equal. Praise him. Well, I asked some friends if they agreed that they felt left out in the things they read. They told me yes and added some more, and soon we all felt pretty sore. Congressman and businessman, spaceman, sideman, but I sure never heard of no house husband. Well, some men came by and a fight began to grow.
The girls are so dumb, you just don't know. These here are called generic words. They're meant to include both the bees and the birds.
Well, gee, fellas, how am I supposed to know? I certainly don't feel included.
Too bad.
Well, okay, said I. If that's so true, I'll just use woman to cover the two.
Don't make a difference to us,
they said.
If you want to use woman, go right ahead.
I said, thanks. That's real sisterly of you. Glad to see you believe in sportswomanship.
Well, now, just hold your horses.
They started to cry. I think I'll hold my mares, said I.
You're leaving all of us guys behind.
Why, no. We're all part of womankind. So don't fret, friends. Take it like a woman. You'll get used to it, just like we all did.
Kristen Lenz, Oh Mama. Great album from the early 80s. Well, I just got a flash from David Silva, who's with the Committee to Repeal the Sleeping Ban, and he worked on that one for a year and a half. Still working on it, more like 2 years, actually. More like 3 years. And he's sent out a mailing encouraging folks who, well, there are 1,575 of them thereabouts, probably got the number slightly wrong, who are not students, who are not homeless, who are, you know, your middle-class tenants and homeowners and registered city voters downtown, who asked that the city council put on the agenda, or actually that be put on the, not the agenda, on the ballot for people to vote on the question of the right to sleep and to cover up with blankets in Santa Cruz. And it seems that the current city council couldn't even bring themselves to discuss this issue either in city council or in their task force, as they call it, which has met repeatedly over the last 3 months. We had hoped that Christopher Crone or Keith Sugar would bring up this issue in a strong, leaderly fashion, but that hasn't happened. They've kind of made sporadic, last-minute efforts at city council to say something about it, but not in any way that would generate a public momentum or educate the public or confront those who are arguing prejudiced or preposterous alternatives. But David Silva is seeking some funding to cover the cost of a mailing. This mailing went out to, I guess, 1,500 people plus, and asked them to come to the city council meeting I was just talking about on Tuesday, March 23rd, which I do invite you to come to down at 809 Center Street. For those of you who don't know where City Hall is, right across from the main library, not hard to find. Come around 7:30 to be sure, or maybe a little later, 7:45, 8 o'clock. you want to talk at Oral Communications, come at 7. Wear black, or, you know, wear a baker's hat and bring a pie, or bring a sleeping bag and a blanket. Or get in touch with us beforehand at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. We're kind of planning a presentation of what the City Council should be talking about but isn't. What the City Council should be talking about but isn't. Silva, David Silva needs, however, you to send him some bucks, frankly, to cover the cost of this mailing. He's the Lone Ranger on this. He's gone out on a limb and taken stuff out of his own pocket. He's a disabled person who's probably one of the most active activists in Santa Cruz. Again, David Silva, S-I-L-V-A, is what you should make your $1,000 checks out to at P.O. Box 387, Santa Cruz 95061. Again, David Silva, S-I-L-V-A, P.O. Box 387, Santa Cruz 95061. And he needs the money. We need his support. Consider it. And if you want that number or that address again, give me a call at 423-HUFF. That's the off-air line for this show, 423-4833, 423-HUFF. It's also the line for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, civil rights organization for the homeless that I've been working with for about a decade. So, you know, we had that interview with QZ, who works with Feed the People, which is a fine group. I encourage you to help them out. I think they serve from 4 to 5. I think it's 4 to 5. Or is it? They start at 5 now. Boy, got to get my time straight. If you want to find out and you want more information about Feed the People, you can call them at 425-3333 or 425-F-E-E-D, Feed, 425-FEED for Feed the People. I think what we're going to do here is actually give them a call, and you get to hear their on-air message. They do feedings Mondays and Tuesdays in front of Logos, and again, I believe later in the week as well. So let's hear what they have to say here. You can actually, those of you who don't want to invest 35 cents, can actually hear them.
Hello, this is Feed the People, and we would love to hear from you. So please leave your name, number, and a message, and we will get back to you as soon as we possibly can. Thank you very much.
And there we were, hoping we'd get a schedule. Well, I think Food Not Bombs actually does give a schedule. Let's see if we can rouse them.
Hi, you've reached Santa Cruz Food Not Bombs. If you want to leave a message, just go ahead and press 1, or if you want to hear some info, keep listening. The name Food Not Bombs states our most fundamental principle. Society needs to promote life, not death. Our society condones and even promotes violence and domination. Authority and power are derived from the threat of use and use of violence. Poverty is violence, and one expression of poverty is hunger. Millions of Americans, almost half of them children, go hungry each day. Globally, we continue to spend more time, money, and resources developing, using, and threatening to use weapons of massive human and planetary destruction than on nurturing and celebrating life. By spending this money on bombs instead of food, our government perpetuates poverty's violence by not providing food for everyone in need. Food Not Bombs has chosen to take a stand against violence and hunger. We are committed to nonviolent social change by giving out free vegetarian food, thus celebrating and nurturing life. Food Not Bombs responds to poverty in two ways. First, we provide food in an open, respectful way to whomever wants it. We will not make people jump through any bureaucratic hoops designed to control, humiliate, and often punish the people who are poor. Second, we invite people who receive food to become involved in providing that food. This provides an opportunity for them to regain their power and recognize their ability to contribute and make a change in their own community. Okay, so thanks a lot, and if you want to help out, just go ahead and leave a message. Have a good day.
Well, not getting too close to the scheduling there, so hopefully someone who works for Food Not Bombs or Feed the People can call in and give us the latest update on the schedule for these two groups. I don't want to give out misinformation. I know Food Not Bombs used to feed more frequently, and I know Feed the People continues to feed either at 4 or 5 downtown on Pacific Avenue, and maybe we can get some information from that, from those folks as to what's cooking. Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, recently issued a press release about the sleeping ban and the larger camping ordinance stuff that's coming up at City Council on Tuesday. This, of course, is the law that penalizes homeless people for sleeping at night, gives them a 162 perhaps soon to be a $54 fine for doing so, makes them hide in unsafe places, puts them in a position of essentially second or third class citizenship, because there's shelter for less than 5% of them once the Winter Armory shelter closes, as it will at the end of March, unless there's some strange change. And without saying any more, I'll simply read this press release, which I think is well written, particularly since I contributed to it. It's right here. Despite an election victory in November of 98 with the apparent mandate to end the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban, Municipal Code 3.6.010A, the new city council refused to legalize sleeping even in limited safe zones for its 500 to 1,500 homeless people. With the Winter Armory shelter slated to close March 31st, there will be shelter for less than 30 people. Headed by Mayor Catherine Byers, the council moved only to lower fines and lessen hours for community service to pay those fines. Ignoring the crucial shortage in rental housing, the Byers Council stipulated driveway parking for relatives would be limited to 3 days out of every 30. If this was Rosa Parks, she'd be allowed to sit in the next to the last seat on the bus, said local civil rights attorney Kate Wells. Mayor Byers sits on the board of directors of the Homeless Services Center and makes up the fourth vote on the seven-member council. She was thought to favor decriminalizing the act of sleeping and covering up with blankets, currently illegal under Municipal Code 6.36. The sleeping and blanket bans are enforced from 11 to 8:30 a.m. and subject to a $162 fine. Byers ended 2 months of task force hearings on February 1st by announcing she could not support repeal of the sleeping ban other than to lower the penalties because there's just no place for them, the homeless. The initiative to repeal the sleeping ban collected the signatures of 3,000 registered city voters, 1,550 of them residents, neither students nor homeless, last year. The Community Action Board, the Santa Cruz Action Network, and the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, as well as the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, endorsed ending the bans. They were directly responsible for putting Byers, Christopher Crone, Tim Fitzmaurice, and Keith Sugar in office, all except the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, of course. Despite 2-to-1 calls to end the bans, the Byers majority could only manage to lower the fines to $54 for a single act of sleeping or covering up with a blanket to keep warm. If reformists in the South had chosen to keep segregation in place but lower the fines for those who wanted to eat meals together, would we have been satisfied with that, said Robert Norris of Huff, a fine source, I might add. Homeless supporters continue to urge Sugar and Crone to put forward an alternative proposal that would decriminalize sleeping in industrial zones, declare an amnesty for past tickets, and suspend all future ticketing until shelter space was actually available. Others called for investigation by independent tribunal, court action, or public protest downtown to draw attention to the city council's refusal to restore human rights to the homeless community. The first reading of ordinance changes was on February 23rd. This coming Tuesday, March 23rd, at its 7 p.m. session, the Santa Cruz City Council will most likely pass the ordinance changes. Critics were concerned Byers would cut short the usual public hearing time and make no special provisions to allow homeless people to attend the hearing by scheduling a late-night armory pickup. They also noted that Byers scheduled the March 23rd hearing to fall in the middle of spring recess when most students would be out of town. Students showed up in record numbers on February 23rd to demand an end to the bans. Angry protesters have suggested that direct civil disobedience such as sleep-ins, sit-ins, or pie-ins might be an apt response. And that's the press release, No Sleep, No Shelter, No Lifting of Sleeping Ban in Shelter Emergency. I'm afraid that's business as usual, and of course our business is to challenge that. We have a phone call here.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Uncle Robert. Thanks for reading that announcement earlier. I am nauseated, but I thought this time I might as well just get this over with. You know, we do all have to show up Tuesday, no matter how disappointing and disturbing and how little change they're offering. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they amended what little change they had on February 23rd to be even less than what they had on February 23rd means that we should probably demand, make a few demands. The limiting of the driveways, you know, to 3 days, it was just a real reactionary kind of thing for them to do. I realize they did it under the threat of the police chiefs, you know, having everything tied up in the zoning board and the planning commission and all that. But that was a bunch of malarkey, and even the Chamber of Commerce realizes that now.
Now, this was your pal, Tim Fitzmaurice, who did this.
Yeah, actually, I perceived it as him trying to save the concept of the driveways after the chief of police pretty much said that it was going to be a nuisance that would be that he would have no control over, and it would go to the planning commission and the zoning board, and he wouldn't be able to control it, and it would be really rampant, out of control over the city. After the police painted that picture, it started losing support even amongst his proposers, and I think he jumped forward to try to save the concept, but it was a knee-jerk reaction. He didn't have to do it because...
And of course, he's contacted you in the last month to apologize and make sure that it's going to be rectified on the 23rd, right?
Well, I can't guarantee that it'll be rectified, but I think one of the things we need to do is point out that, you know, this is exactly what's happened with this ordinance all along, is that the police use it so broadly and so generally. The police administration like it as a way to beef up their numbers. And, it, you know, they got to stop criminalizing a whole class of people just so they can have their police numbers up high.
You know,
basically, if you can have your family and friends are going to support people in driveways, they need to be able to do it for however long it takes to get their first and last month rent together, not no 3 days every calendar month.
Sure.
That's absurd.
You and I have had a kind of a disagreement on this one, David. I understand you're trying to get the best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
My thought is, and I guess it's a real question in the minds of a number of people,
sure,
is whether, you know, trying to pick up a few crumbs off this isn't really diverting attention. And I know you don't want to divide attention. You are, you know, you are the main focal point of attention on this issue, as far as I'm concerned, at least one of them, to the real issue, which is, you know, the right to sleep at night. There's no change in criminal.
When it comes to the
sleeping.
Right to sleep at night, I reserve the right to remain obnoxious. People have a right to sleep at night, period. But
They picked up a lot of your.
If we increase some spaces where people can sleep at night legally, then let's do it.
Right, the city council has picked up a lot of your changes that you kind of desperately threw out there because you thought, God, they're not.
And made less
anything.
Of them.
And you know they're holding them up as some kind of something that they're doing when in fact most of us think this is utter hogwash. And I'm pointing this out because some people have brought this to my attention, and I just I want to bring it to you.
Well, there's also the armory thing versus the spaces available thing argument that
Let's clarify for the folks listening what this is. We're talking, of course, about Keith Sugar's last-minute amendment that we asked him to actually prepare more thoroughly and more cautiously and more elaborately so people could know exactly what it was, but that didn't seem to have much impact. The amendment that he made was that the camping ban be essentially tickets for the camping ban not be given if the armory was full or closed. Actually, we proposed that there be no tickets issued unless a shelter space was available and a shelter provider so informed the police department, which is what is happening in Florida. In the Florida Pottinger settlement, they don't give tickets for so-called life-sustaining misdemeanors like sleeping unless there is a real shelter space available.
They should hand out reservations to those shelter spaces.
Yeah, or
instead
something.
Of tickets.
But in fact, what happened was... Keith Sugar brought this forward and was, essentially strung up by Rotkin real fast.
Well, when he first mentioned it, Robert, just let me interject a second. The first time he introduced it, I saw the tape again. He did say, have it section 63601 A and B, and that the sleeping and blanket bans would not be enforced. And that kind of seems to me Rotkin was having a hard time dealing with that. But then when he dropped it later on, then Rotkin was able to go on and on about the meaninglessness of it.
Now, what that means, those of you out there who don't understand, is we have been pushing for a long time to make sure that people are not arrested simply for sleeping or covering up with blankets. There is a third section which refers to the act of camping, that is setting up a campsite. And while, it seems to be, it is something that the homeless should be allowed to do
somewhere.
In a campground, and, particularly when there's no shelter, we did not undertake that larger right, because we're working on the more immediate one of just not arresting people for sleeping when they fall asleep or cover up.
Well, broad sweeping changes to the camping ordinance muddles the argument, the human rights argument,
so
and
what,
that succeeds
right,
for Rotkin.
What Councilmember Sugar proposed first was that there be no tickets issued for sleeping or covering up with blankets if the armory were full or closed. But then he lost his way and simply said no tickets for camping. And that gave
his argument.
Councilmember Rotkin, who has always favored maintaining the existing sleeping ban
then Rotkin started talking about criminals and crimes.
In. So, these are, to me, these are kind of arcane distinctions that you and I understand, but that don't make a lot of difference, particularly if you're homeless. But even if you're a member of the general public trying to understand the situation, the basic thing to catch out there is they're making no change in the the basic law that makes it illegal to fall asleep at night, and they aren't providing any additional shelter either. I mean, I suppose you might say that there's a youth shelter opening up in the county for, what, is it 30 young people? And there's the official groundbreaking for Community House, I think, was last week, or is it tomorrow? I'm not sure. There's some special shindig for Community House, which is a vastly overpriced, you know, transitional program that helps 30 or 40 people.
Well, 3 calendar days
so
a month in a driveway is the most they're doing, and that's nothing. You know, that really is
right.
Nothing.
And they're also adding, I guess, 2 vehicles per business for those who have vehicles. Again, this is all some minor measure of relief for people who are in vehicles, but it's not going to cover the situation for folks in vehicles. And more important, it's not going to cover the folks for the much poorer, much more numerous community that is outside of a vehicle.
The more ticketable.
Right, and the more ticketable
More easily ticketable.
So, I definitely second your suggestion that we, show up on March 23rd. I think you put in a lot of work on that. I encourage people to drop you a postcard and a check at Post Office Box.
Thanks, Robert. Yeah,
387.
Kind of on a limb there.
Let me give that address.
A lot of people signed that initiative,
Right. 387 Santa Cruz 95061. And again, I'm suggesting folks come with dressed in black if they wish, possibly with a pie in hand if they feel daring. And frankly, the reason I'm proposing the pie approach is I feel a lot of solidarity with Rahula Janowski and the so-called Cherry Pie 3. Those are the 3 that are now serving 6 months in jail.
Well, I'm going to disconnect myself from any public phone call that conspires to throw pies. I think that's kind of a fun thing we just all do individually, right?
So I will continue my conspiratorial bakery.
I'm signing off, Robert. I really am nauseated.
Hey, I'm getting sick myself.
Let's hand out. Hey, we need somebody to hand out flyers at the Hemp Council today to get people for Tuesday night, too.
That's a good point. If anybody wants to help hand out flyers, please give a call to 423-HUFF, and we will show you where to go. We have an opportunity to get a lot of flyers out at the Hemp Festival.
And I got some more of those postcards that weren't mailed that are blank that could be handed out as flyers if somebody wants to come by here, Robert.
You
handle it all, Robert.
Give you an opportunity.
Crashing in for the weekend.
You take care of yourself, David.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
So, again, if you want to help give out flyers at the Hemp Festival, and you can meet all kinds of attractive people and interesting stuff, it's really quite a happening event down there at the Civic Auditorium, please give a call to 423-HUFF, and we will put you in touch with the flyer source. You can have a meaningful role in this whole process. I think a lot of folks at the Hemp Festival would be sympathetic to ending the sleeping ban, and they would need to be reminded that on Tuesday, March 23rd, starting at the 7 p.m. session, that's what's going to be happening. So help out. Give a call to 423-HUFF, and call me on air. Let's talk more about the issues, 427-3772.
Happy John Dine was a friend of mine, lived here by the sea. Down on the streets of Santa Cruz, he always laughed at me. Happy and I went to church one night, thank God, and ate our fill. Asked him if he had any money, give me a fake dollar bill. Where is Happy? He's gone away. And it's hard for me to be happy. Happy's in a grave. Oh, where is Happy? Shot down today. And it's yes, the police are happy. Sadness is here to stay. Happy was as harmless as a butterfly. Loved everyone he met. He never left the 60s, didn't really care for the internet. One day he was grooving to some tunes, doing the happy bop, when a bullet entered his chest, came from a Santa Cruz cop. Where is Happy? Shot down today. And it's hard for me to be happy. Happy's in a grave. Oh, where is Happy? He's gone away. And I guess the police are happy. Sadness is here to stay. Now people like Happy, I do believe. Heaven is great, great spirits. You know, like whatever you got here, less of, you got more there. Could happen. So I think he's up there. I think he's looking down. And he's probably saying, hey man, right on. I know you. Power to the people. Where is Happy? He's gone away. And it's hard for me to be happy. Happy's in a grave. Where is Happy? Shot down today. And I guess the police are happy. Sadness is here to say, yeah, I guess the police are happy. Sadness is here to say.
Running into each other every couple of years here in the corridors of the halls of justice, where the only justice is in the halls and rarely there. You and I have talked in the past. And we're talking now to Ray Gordon, legal eagle, not a lawyer, citizen advocate, and he's talking about the sleeping ban and what to do about it in court.
How can poor people effectively use the laws, and you do train people on how to use the existing legal system in an effective way? I don't know how effective, because I've never closely examined your system and seen how successful or unsuccessful you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I've often urged you to put out flyers on the subject that would summarize so that people who don't have the funding or the time or who need a kind of a quick, perhaps there is no such thing,
mm-hmm.
a quick briefing on the best first steps to take would have a way to do that, and I continue to encourage you to do that.
Right.
But how should poor people, let's say on the current sleeping ban controversy, you're familiar with that, you've probably been reading about it in the papers,
okay.
approach the court. Here's a man who is arrested, cited for sleeping in his vehicle when he or she had no other legal place to sleep, and there was no shelter available. They were given no other legal place to go, but they were told, hey, here's a $162 ticket, take it or leave it, and if you're there 24 hours from now, you'll get another one and we'll take your car. What do you suggest this person do?
Well, first of all, we should clarify what is happening to people. The first situation, you have to identify what the problem is. And then the county, we have to understand what the county is. The county is a corporation. It's a paper fiction. The county is run by the people that are elected, and that's the Board of Supervisors, okay? And they're elected by the public. And the public, obviously, are these groups of people that are mysteriously behind the scene voting, but they have no idea what the legal requirements are to vote. In other words, they don't have the capacity to go in those booths and vote, as evident by the kind of things that they're agreeing to.
Now, remember, of course, we're talking about the city rather than the county, but the same argument holds.
The same argument holds for the city, the county, and the state, and the federal government. It's the same consistent program. So what we have today is that you have a corporation that has policies, and these are the ordinances, the bylaws extended out into the streets, known as these codes, rules, regulations, bylaws, covenants, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
The anti-homeless law.
Okay, so you get to the point to where their approach to dealing with people who don't have a place to live, or people like me who enjoy the recreation lifestyle. I have many places that I can go and live, but I prefer to move around so that I can enjoy all the beauty and all the greatness that I see, not just in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the code on its face is unconstitutional because, number one, it hasn't identified who it really applies to. So when you look at citizens being charged with these types of code violations, sleeping bans, et cetera, when in fact reason and logic would dictate that, yes, you should rest in your vehicle if you don't have any other place to rest. You shouldn't go and sleep on someone's porch when you have a car. You should sleep in that. The problem I have with them passing rules and regulations like this is that they don't provide any remedies. You see, that shocks a sense of fair play. It's one thing to say we don't want you going over in this area and sleeping in your vehicle, but however, we've set up a whole area over here where you could pull in there at nighttime and rest and during the day, clean it up, and then leave.
Yeah.
That's the tragedy there. In other words, the Board of Supervisors are railing as if the citizens want people.
In this case, the City Council, because actually the Board of Supervisors has an ordinance which does allow people in the county to sleep in their vehicle.
Okay, well, my correction there. So we're talking about
Santa Cruz City.
City Council. Well, you know, City Council, this is the person you need to be talking to, is the mayor.
Boy, is that a pain.
That's the person you need to be talking with, because they're obviously out of bounds on this one here. But you have to keep in mind that the corporate charter only allows them to do so much. And what you have to do, the Achilles tendon, is that corporate charter. Can one collaterally attack the corporate charter? And I contend that they can. The unspoken variables behind the scene that really put us in a bind is that we either have a license and a license is a consent to be regulated. So here's a person, and remember, all these laws have to be in harmony. So you got a city ordinance, okay, and the person is regulated, and they're traveling in the city. They got a license. The license binds them under the city ordinance to be in compliance. That's why the judge says, and make sure you obey all laws, okay? That's what he's talking about. So there's a license. They probably have their children in school. They probably have their vehicle registered. They probably have insurance. So
this also apply, for example, to just a second passenger in the vehicle. That passenger would also get a sleeping ticket, even if she or he didn't own the vehicle or have anything to do with it.
Right. So here again, you have this position that they take, that if citizens are in the city, remember, this is corporate law, bylaws, whereas in the city, they've claimed out and marked off a territory. It says, we now control this here. Well, first of all, paper fiction can't do anything but be in possession of something. They can't own it. But the city, the county, and local government has, over the years, asserted that they own certain things. They can own shipping yards and docks and magazines and those type of places, but that's stipulated in the Constitution. Other than that, they only have right of possession to determine what's going to happen.
Let's go back to the poor man who is, let's say, even outside and awakened from sleep and told, we're not going to tell you where to go. We're just going to tell you you can't sleep here. And here, by the way, is your $162, or perhaps if they lower the fine, $54 ticket. Get moving. What is the recourse of this person, whether in a vehicle or outside, that you would suggest he do the next day?
I would suggest that they get in contact with Kate Wells and have Kate Wells get in contact with me. And between Kate Wells and myself, we should be able to put together a writ of petition for redress of grievance. You see, you can't tell a person that they can't do this here and not have any options when what they're doing is a natural right. Well, if I get tired, I have a natural right to sit down and rest. And if my lifestyle would not allow me to go out and purchase a house for $300,000 that I'll pay $1 million for, or I prefer to just stick all that money in my pocket and just sleep out here or just wander around, then they can't tell me that I can't do this here and not have some type of alternative that's a balanced equation. See, what they got is a one-sided situation.
But of course, that's what they have done with the downtown ordinances in downtown Santa Cruz, where it's illegal to sit down within 10 feet of a shop, within 50 feet of an ATM, and frequently you'll get harassed for sitting anywhere on the sidewalk if the police officers choose to want to go after you, claiming you're blocking the sidewalk, or any series of spurious approaches.
We have the city ordinance, and then we have the local merchants who are clamoring that their business is being inhibited, or they're being citizens and customers, potential prospects, are being intimidated by people out panhandling or just there. Here again, there's not been a group of conscious people honestly coming together to say, hey, look, this is 1999 in America. Here are the real issues. What can we do to alleviate so that we're assisting not only the merchants who are paying us all this money, but even people who don't have the money to pay? We have an obligation. That's where the whole system breaks down, is because I believe that there's been so much corruption over so long that people don't know what law and order is anymore, Robert. They've dealt with this muck so long. It's like the policeman that starts off as a rookie and he stays in the profession 19 years. He's perverted, okay? If he's not stood up the challenge to actually get a balanced equation.
That it can happen much more quickly than that. So your suggestion is to call Kate Wells. She's an attorney who, frankly, is quite overburdened, but it's possible that she has said she's interested in finding some way to get enough legal support together to challenge the sleeping ban ordinance, to challenge these cases individually, and even to apply the recent ICORN decision, which you may be aware of, which mandates that the defense of necessity can be used in camping cases and should be allowed. And this is now state precedent until the California Supreme Court either depublishes or overrules it.
Well, you and I in both agreement, there has to be a meeting of the minds in terms of how this can be resolved. You can't tell a person they can't rest and not make any provisions for that.
And that was Ray Gordon talking about the sleeping ban. But now we have an actual long-distance call-in from the editor of the oldest street newspaper in the country, Indio. Hey, Indio.
How you doing, my brother?
Good, good. You're actually calling from New York City. This isn't a hoax?
That's right.
Wow. I know we got a copy of your paper, which is quite a thick paper. How many pages in this edition of Street News?
We took it down to 52. We had 60. We had to take it down because of the cost.
Wow. And this is a pretty fat paper that is sold by how many vendors?
Right now we have around 50, but they're not all full-time. We have maybe 25 full-time vendors, and the other 25 are like part-time, and that's because we've assisted them getting on welfare or getting a disability.
Mm-hmm. And what's the reception of the vendor in the New York, I guess it's mostly Manhattan we're talking, or in the boroughs as well?
The main crux of our paper sold in Manhattan. And what's going down, the mayor and the president of the Transit Authority and Port Authority, they're still keeping us out of the subways, saying that they're a private corporation and it's private property and they don't want us to sell the paper. They won't give us a vendor's license. Now, we argue this is against the First Amendment. Plus, they get funds from the federal government, the state, and the city, yet they stop us by taking our papers or sending us to jail to do community service. And they don't bother other people that go through the subway selling batteries, dolls, pencils.
Now, why? I mean, there are some people who say you're being a little, well, they accuse me of being overdramatic or ruining a good word when I say that some things sometimes are fascist-like. Yet I've seen that phrase used to describe Mayor Giuliani. Why has he been so characterized?
Well, first of all, we have five borough presidents. He's only dealing with the borough of Queens and the borough president from Queens and the borough president from Brooklyn, who happened to be Caucasian, and Staten Island. He will work with those three. The other two, Virginia Fields, who's black, and Vieira, who's also, he's the Bronx borough president, and he's happened to be Puerto Rican. They don't correspond whatsoever. Now, if you're going to be a mayor of a city like New York, you have to have your generals, and you have to work with these people. He has not done that. And as far as dealing with the police brutality, I have to mention October 22nd, Stolen Lives. They're the really pathfinders of bringing this up, because they've been having their rallies for over 3 years, making people aware. Now, it's good that politicians are getting arrested, but they're not giving credit to October 22nd, Stolen Lives, and the gay administrations and organizations that's been joining in, okay? Unfortunately, I'm going to go back a while. During the time of Prohibition, nothing was changed or happened until the majority of white people got arrested. Then they changed the law and they legalized whiskey. And I think, I can't prove it, but this is my biased opinion, things are not going to move until you get, God forbid, more killings of white people.
Well, I know that the drug laws, we're talking, for example, about marijuana, which is the most notorious prohibition, kind of, you know, ran in the same, well, ran along racist lines in the 20s and 30s.
True.
In the 30s, it was considered one of them black drugs, you know.
I mean, right.
A black thing.
It was used during the Jamestown settlement as barter, and that was a viable commodity as far as trade was concerned.
Well, but jumping back to the present, Mayor Giuliani, what has been his... what kinds of actions has he taken regarding homeless people generally and their civil rights in New York City?
Basically, out of sight, you're in flight. The majority of homeless people now are being put away. They're being arrested for trumped-up charges where there's a imminent danger to their cells or others.
Talking about, like, psychiatric commitments?
There you go. And they have outreach workers that will try to get people to go into welfare or into shelters. And what happened is that these people will go into shelters, but they'll be on a waiting list. They'll take them away from the main area of Manhattan. So when the tourists come in, they don't see too much of poverty. They like tourists spend money. And what happens is Giuliani and the police commissioner wants to keep New York as a tourist state. After a while, you'll just have hippies and big buildings and rich people in New York. Everything is basically for the rich. It's very simple. Recently, we just had Mark Green, who wants the police commissioner to be fired, and that's no way, Jose. Mayor Giuliani will not cop to anything. He just wants to be recognized as Hitler.
Now, in other words, the reason they want the police commissioner fired is because of the shooting of the unarmed?
It's not only that. They're not coming up with real statistics. They'll bring statistics saying, well, the rate of crime is going down in this community and that community, dealing with the street force police officers that killed the brother Ahmadinejad. There were four white brothers. The thing is, they won't show statistics of how many minorities are on the street crime force. And they will say that the rate of crime has gone down, but they don't talk about the rate of complaints dealing with police brutality has gone up tremendously. But that goes into left field, and they're trying to say this is just a moth and we're trying to get publicity. And the only thing I can see to change or make more people aware is for the major papers also to start going and getting arrested. But you're not going to have that. You see, if you have minority papers, such as myself and the Village Voice, papers that the editor and reporters will go in and form this demonstration and get arrested also, you may look at something. People may stop. But right now, Giuliani wants to become a senator. Governor Pataki wants DNA,
What do you mean he wants DNA?
For all inmates to have a DNA, and they're talking about
a DNA test?
Right, and have it on their records. They're also trying to get this for all babies that's being born, so you'll have a complete record from day one. Pretty soon, they maybe even put a chip when you're born so they can know exactly where you're located.
Let me play the devil's advocate for a moment.
Go ahead.
What is wrong with, a convicted criminal being required to give a sample of his DNA so that at a future rape or murder, there could be a quick cross-checking done and the guilty person immediately found?
Well, okay. It's more of a control mechanism. You're taking away a right. The police won't have to work as much. And there's always a possibility of what? Coercement. But you're going to say, well, DNA doesn't lie. But it's also an infringement of your rights.
It's also true that the people who manipulate the results can lie.
Elementary.
You know, that's true.
But that,
police force
that,
can
that
screw
doesn't
up.
Count because this is the United States of America and we're all good guys.
Well, again, getting back to specific measures that the mayor has taken that affect the homeless population and Street News, we're talking with India Washington, or just India, if you will, editor of Street News, the largest and oldest street newspaper in the country, sold by homeless people and sold by vendors who are near homelessness as well to, make coffee money, if nothing else, and also to get out the word about what's going on from sectors of, from writers you don't usually hear from. What's been the impact? Specifically, what measures has the mayor taken that have impacted the homeless? Any particulars for us?
It's catch-22. They will get you out of the subways. They will get you out of the park benches. You're not allowed to lay down because that's a crime nowadays. If you're seen laying down, you have to get up or you'll be arrested.
Is that
you
anywhere?
You have a lot of harassment. a lot of harassment in the subways and the Penn stations. The only place that's being a little lax is the Port Authority on 42nd Street and 8th Avenue when it's cold.
Well, how is the weather now in New York City?
It's coming along. We had a snowstorm. Now it's moving up, but it's windy. It's going to hit 50 pretty soon. And when it gets warmer, you're going to see a more influx of homeless people. Mm-hmm. But right now, you have a lot of march squads and people dressed up in plain clothes and who are police that are really just jamming you. I mean, they're really filthy McNasty. That's the word.
Now,
they're,
you know, here nice. In Santa
Cruz, they're filthy McNasty, and,
yeah.
and Mayor Giuliani knows how to go to left field and say it's just propaganda.
Well, I know that the mayor, you know, got some rather notorious publicity for cracking down on protests around AIDS and inadequate AIDS funding and gay rights, and you know that there was a serious. He essentially tried to shut down these protests, right?
He has. He started off with the $1 million youth black march with the barricades going up. And when you have it downtown in front of City Hall, it's the same thing. Everything is cramped where they're trying to incite a riot. And what's happening is you have the minority police officers not saying anything. I mean, you have a lot of minority organizations that's part of the police force. They're afraid of their job, so they're not saying a damn word. They're keeping it to themselves, and they're saying, well, it's the political leaders and the minority leaders in the community who should do something. They're afraid of their jobs.
You know, I heard about, from a man who migrated from New York about a year ago, year and a half ago, that there was a significant decision regarding showing your artwork in public, that it was a legal form of expression.
It is. It still is. The thing is, Mayor Giuliani and the community, I think it's called the BID, Business Income Corporation, they've now selected different sites where you can't sell Frankfurters or sell art, even if you have a vendor's license. And they're trying to also do away with newsstands where you have to bid for newsstands, which means you will be able to sell advertisement. But they're doing away with individual owners who own newsstands.
It'll end
up being like McDonald's or Burger King.
Now, they've done something like that in San Francisco, and the various papers are fighting back by a lawsuit against Willie Brown's kind of sanitized news kiosks. But let me ask you this. Do Street News, the name of your paper, Street News Vendors, do they need to have a license to be on the streets of New
York? They won't sell us a license. They will only give licenses to veterans, and they must be selling books or wallets or something like that.
Well, let me ask you this, and what are they being arrested for selling Street News on?
Of course. They will generally take the papers, arrest them, give them a DAT, which is a desk appearance ticket. But first, nowadays, they'll fingerprint you to see if you have any previous charges.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can give you a DAT, a desk appearance ticket, but they keep your papers, and you have to go back, and you will either pay a fine or do community service.
Well, isn't this putting a crimp in the sales of Street News?
Exactly. They've taken at least 65% of our sales. At one time, it was as high as 80%.
Hmm. Well, so are the police just sort of doing this when they feel like it, or are they doing it systematically, or what's
basically happening? It's basically coming from the police officers and the Port Authority and Transit Authority,
But is this discouraging vendors from doing this, or are vendors still out there?
For new people, yes. That may be one of the reasons why we're not getting as many new vendors, even though there's an influx of homelessness. But for the old-timers, we just keep on doing it. I mean, I've been in this business for 9 years, going on 10. So, I mean, it's still finding, and you have to do something.
I know here in Santa Cruz, we sell Street Spirit, the San Francisco paper, and sometimes we sell the Street Shit Sheet, which is my paper newsletter, actually, and we had some hassle from the police department, but they eventually had to back off because part of the city code is you cannot go after newspaper vendors unless, you know, they're acting inappropriately in some other way.
Okay, we sell a lot of papers on Broadway near the Ticketron, and where people will buy tickets to see plays, and now the police are trying to stop us there. So they're doing a lot, and it's beefed up. They brainstorm, especially during election time and during the holidays. They tried to stop us. I mean, we are basically a pain in their ass.
I think your paper is a great paper, and I think, you know, it's so dense with information, I can never finish it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How can people get a copy of the paper? Can they...
Okay,
address you can be reached at, or
they could take a subscription. They could write to Street News, 144-46 76th Avenue, Flushing, New York, 11367. The paper costs $1.50, but you can take out a subscription for 6 issues, and that's $20. A year subscription or 12 issues is $35.
That's really quite a bargain considering the thickness of the paper and the fact you got to mail it off in the post.
Yeah, I think so. The most important thing is Street News does not pimp the homeless. Now, I'm going to mention this again. I'm glad I'm on the air. Mm-hmm. Most of the homeless papers have maybe 20 pages or 10 pages or 15 pages, and they will sell the paper for $1. And they will have one story in big print. We sell news-worthy items. So if you feel sorry for the homeless, that's one thing. This is a newspaper. Unfortunately, it's not selling as fast as other major homeless papers. But people will say, I can't read it all. I can't thumb through it. And that makes me feel good because there's information. It's a lot of information that's not in the major papers because they are governed by their advertisers and, of course, Big Brother.
Right, definitely. And I think that to get that information, not just to support homeless people who are selling the paper, but to get out the word, it's really crucial that folks tune into these papers. Are you on the internet yet? We're hoping that those
we're on the internet. We have 3 emails, and we also have 3 websites. And if you want it, I can run it. I don't want to waste your time. But the email is streetnews@othersides.com.
streetnews@othersides.com. And for those who do want, you know, the websites and so forth, give a call to 423-HUFF. 423-4833, and I will put you in touch with those websites after or even while we're on the air. Just give a call to 423-HUFF.
I want to also give you recognition, my brother, because ever since I met you, you've always been for real, and you tell it exactly like a TIS, and it's also been a pleasure dealing with you, and I hope our relationship and marriage will go a long, long time.
Hey, you're exposing me before the world, but it's always been a pleasure talking to you, Indio. You're you preside over a much bigger operation than I do, and you're doing good work there. Let's keep in touch, and again,
no question. And you know what, Bob? You know what the little old lady said when she pissed in the sea?
Tell me.
Every little bit helped.
I would call that a form of yellow journalism, and leave you in New York City, and thank you very much, Indio.
And can you keep a secret?
Go ahead.
I love you.
Hey, thank you, Indio.
Thank you, and keep the good work up.
All right.
God bless my brother.
Bye-bye.
Peace.
Giving you the benefit of years of experience of riding on subways. Now, you know the IRT and the BMT, where you change, you get off, and you get on?
No.
Well, listen. It's uptown by local to Van Cortlandt Park. Wake up, get out, go up, cross over, go down, get on, and then downtown by local to Sheep's Head Bay. Wake up, get out, go up, cross over, go down, then up on the east side to Pelham Bay Park. Wake up, get out, go down, cross over, go up, get on, and then way out to Brooklyn and Far Rockaway. Wake up, get out, go up, cross over, go down, get on again. But be sure you wake at the end of the line, or you'll wake up to a $50 fine. You got that?
Uptown by local to Sheep's Head Bay, then the downtown...
No, you got it all wrong. Now listen, it's uptown by local to Van Cortlandt Park. Wake up, get out, go up, cross over, go down, get on, and then...
Hey, mister, what's the matter? You're telling the lady all wrong. Hey, lady, you want to know how to go uptown? You listen to me. You go uptown by local to Bronx River Park. Wake up, get out, go down, cross over,
no,
go
no,
up,
no,
get
no,
on,
no, young man,
then.
You're telling her all wrong. Pardon me. You go up on the east side to Pelham Bay Park. Wake up, get out, go down, cross over,
hey,
go up,
hey,
get
lady,
on,
like you're hipping her all wrong, like she's going to get lost.
Uptown,
I'll tell you how to go.
Sign this. I'd rather be working. This is the Pitts and a cup from the coffee roasting company in front of you, the Aptos Coffee Roasting Company. And you're panhandling.
Yes, I am panhandling. Right now, work is kind of tight, and so this is basically what I do to stay alive. I have a place to live at the local areas, the armory and stuff like that, and through the ISSP church groups, and I ordinarily get fed because there's a lot of food
that's available in the town of Santa Cruz, but you can't live on freebies as, you know, like, totally, and it's really hard to live anywhere without a little bit of cash money to take the bus so you can go look for work.
What's your average a day, would you say, that you make doing this kind of work?
It has been very, very slow recently. Ordinarily, $5 a day.
That's pretty poor wages. How many hours a day do you do it?
On an average, about 4 hours.
So that's about $1.25 an hour.
That's why I say I'd rather be working, you know.
Do people offer you work?
No, I don't get offered any work or anything like that.
How long have you been doing this?
This is my second year of doing this, and ordinarily I only do it during the winter time because work is pretty tight during the winter because of the weather. During the summertime, I make enough to stay alive.
What kind of work do you do?
I do lots of things, mostly odd jobs, but professionally, when I get a chance, I'm an asphalt paver, and I run a backhoe or things like that. But during this time of the year, there's just no work.
How long have you been in Santa Cruz?
Actually, I hang out in Santa Cruz during the winter time because. But other than that, I live up in the San Lorenzo Valley because it's easier to get work up there.
Where were you born?
I was originally born in Massachusetts, and I moved to Los Angeles, and in 1976 I came to this area.
You're kind of an old-timer here.
Yes, I've been here for many years.
Now, you've heard the current controversy around the law that makes it illegal for homeless people to sleep at night outside?
Yes, I'm very familiar with it, you know.
Have you yourself gotten tickets under this law?
No, I haven't. I ordinarily stay at places that none of the authorities go to or could find.
What do you think of this law? Is it a fair law? Is it an unfair law? What's your sense of it?
Okay, my basic idea of it is it's illegal for the homeless people to stay on private property. You know, it's the law.
That's trespass.
Yes, trespassing. You know,
of course, it's also illegal under the sleeping ban to be on any public property.
Mm-hmm, this is true. Public and private properties, it's illegal. And the one thing is, where could we possibly find an area, you know, like for the homeless people to congregate? The number one wouldn't cost the county a small fortune, you know, like both for getting the area, and they'd have to
It's actually legal to sleep in the county, although sheriffs will lie to you about that issue. Here comes the mayor. We'll have to ask her what she thinks. Mayor Byers, when are you going to end the sleeping ban?
Hi, Robert. Nice to see ya.
I didn't get an answer on that. Where can homeless people sleep, Mayor Byers? Apparently there's no answer to that question.
Oh, you had the tape recorder out, so that's probably a lot of it.
Oh, I think she has no answer even when the tape recorder is out.
It's gonna be a very difficult situation to do anywhere in the city limits of Santa Cruz, you know, just because, you know, like as we were discussing earlier, the trespassing situation, because most of the area here is either owned by the city.
Well, it's not trespassing. The law talks about specifically it's being illegal to fall asleep on any public property. Public property. You're on public property mostly, like on a public sidewalk. That's not considered to be trespassing.
Can I get you guys something to eat?
He might want something. I'm interviewing him.
I'm fine right now, thank you. Some people have come by and already given me food.
That's a very nice offer, though, man. I really commend you for offering that. Let me give you a flyer.
You know, women walk more determined than they ever have. Women walk with a stronger stride than they ever did before. Take a look, sisters and brothers, 'cause you're gonna find you've got another kind of woman who will ask a lot and give a lot. directions, and sometimes we want to give up. But we gotta keep going, gotta keep on growing, 'cause love ain't gonna let us stop. You know we owe it to each other to grow as wise as we can get. And we'll get to the end, my sister and friend. We haven't seen the best of it yet. That we believe we can say. You've hurt me a lot, and I've hurt you, babe, and we'll always bear the scars. But to learn about love and everything it's made of, we gotta know just who we are. You know,
women walk more determined than they ever have. Women walk with a stronger stride than they ever did before. Take a look, sisters and brothers, 'cause you're gonna find you've got another kind of woman who will ask a lot and give a lot and live a whole lot more.
You know women walk more determined than they ever have. Women walk with a stronger stride than they ever did before. Take a look, sisters and brothers, 'cause you're gonna find you've got another kind of woman who will
determined. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host for this 2.5 hour slot until 1:30. Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, the March 21st edition, Sunday, March 21st, 1999. And we are going through a varied program. We're hoping to turn soon to the county camping ordinance and a number of interviews and some analysis of what that county camping ordinance is. I think I've been putting out some misinformation on that ordinance that I want to correct. It's not clear yet because, again, we haven't heard from the county council. We haven't heard from the county board of supervisors, supervisor for our district, District 3, Marty Wormhout, who, by the way, will be appearing tomorrow at the Java Junction at 5 o'clock. That's at Seabright and Portola. Is it Portola? No, it's Eastcliff. Seabright and Eastcliff down there. At the Java Junction Cafe, she'll be talking to constituents. If you want to find out what the real dope is or who the real dopes are around the county camping ordinance, the laws that regulate sleeping in your vehicle or sleeping outside, come on down 5 o'clock tomorrow. Also at 5:30 tomorrow at the Cafe Pergolesi, Councilmember Chris Crone will be having his pre-council nuptials, which he has with those who want to come down and talk to him about the different things coming up on the agenda. He's the only council member who has such an open session. I went to the last one a couple weeks ago, and frankly, it was a productive one in the small ways that, you know, extremely small ways, but he did listen to us, and some of the things that we said he brought forward to the city council meeting. They weren't really very significant things because there wasn't anything particularly significant on the agenda. It had to do with the Citizens Police Review Board and the minor changes being proposed by that largely sellout, cover-up, fig leaf body. If anybody wants to discuss or debate that issue with me, I would be more than happy to talk to them. I think those words really aptly cover what the Citizens Police Review Board has been not doing, or actually has been doing, for the last 5 years. Essentially nothing around any meaningful review of complaints about the Santa Cruz Police Department. So there are those two meetings happening. Marty Wormhout, supervisor at the Java Junction tomorrow at 5, Monday. And also Monday at 5:30 at the Cafe Pergolesi downtown, Christopher Crone, who I regret to announce after his call into our talk show on Thursday. We have a version of Bathrop Spears Broadsides runs from 6 to 8 on Thursday, has not called back, in spite of the fact that he expressed a desire that he wanted to talk to us off-air and work out some kind of real alternative to the pretty straight crap that's coming out of the city council around the sleeping ban. Lack of anything substantive, no real response to the need of homeless people to sleep at night. Chris, we had hoped, was going to propose a real alternative and talk to us about it and be ready to present such an alternative at the city council meeting on Tuesday. But as of 12:25 on Sunday, right now, we haven't heard back from, could this be him calling in?
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, this is David Silva. I just want to talk about a rumor.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think that it would be fair to put the sleeping ban vote on a June ballot when the students aren't here, just like it really wasn't too fair to have this second reading in the spring break when the students aren't here. But basically, these human rights decisions should never be on a June ballot.
Now,
it should always be
on
a March or March or November ballot.
Before you go any further, what is the rumor that you've heard?
I'm not at liberty to comment at this time.
Now, let's not be cryptic. I take it you're saying that there has been a rumor that the city council may want to put the issue of the sleeping ban repeal initiative on a ballot.
Yeah, the sleeping ban repeal includes the safe zones.
Well, what's wrong with that? Didn't you work for a year to have
repeal? But to have it put on a ballot of 2 weeks after all the students leave town is when it's dealing with a human rights issue, not dealing with a particular, old-timers residential zoning issue, but having to do actually with human rights. Sleeping ban, not the camping ordinance, the sleeping ban.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it should be put on a June ballot. I think that's real sneaky and real shitty.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so you've heard a rumor to that effect?
Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah.
I think you also had a point that you felt you called during the break, and you suggested something about if the sleeping ban repeal did pass through some miracle in the next few months, either through ballot or through the city council, and there were safe zones set up in industrial areas, this would in fact make a trespass activity by homeless people for sleeping less likely, right?
Yeah, well, actually, there would be a slight increase in the visibility of the homeless, but what that would mean is that there'd be a great decrease in the amount of trespass. The current laws we have encourage trespass so that people can hide from the police. And so if we come together more as a community and allow homeless people to be visible at night, then we're decreasing the trespass instead of putting them in this criminalization zone, we have them as part of the community. I think it would be very healthy.
Yeah, and I'm hoping again that I want to put out another call for people to come on Tuesday to the city council. Come at 6 for the meal, come at 7 for oral communications, and I guess 7:30 to 8 more or less is when the sleeping ban stuff.
Yeah, I haven't got a hold of SOBA yet, but I got a message into them. And
now what is SOBA?
SOBA is a group. I'm the hottest group in town, man.
And what about them?
They may be showing up from 6 to 7 City Hall to play for us.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
So
I'm waiting to hear from them. Hey, Sobe, if you're out there, call me.
So
you got my number.
So not only put on your black widow weeds and maybe have your baker's hats and,
baker's hats and bongo drum.
And have your pies in hand, but also, and your sleeping bags and blankets, of course, in case you want to lie down in front of the city council and get a little shut-eye while it's still legal before 11 o'clock.
Bring your mariachis, too.
But you can also bring your dancing shoes, right?
Yeah, dancing shoes, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it wasn't for my bum knee, I would probably bring on my dancing shoes.
And we're still waiting for anybody who wants to volunteer to help us distribute flyers today at the Hemp Festival. So all you folks out there who are going to the Hemp Festival or want to put in a half an hour to an hour giving away flyers, do give a call to us at 423-HUFF.
Now is the time, volunteers. Now is the time.
Yes, definitely. Call in 423-HUFF and put in a little time giving out flyers so we can actually get some folks to come to the city council meeting with or without marijuana or hemp, your choice.
Yeah.
Maybe a stiff puff of medicinal marijuana might be good medicine for this city council.
Oh, the city council members are probably at the festival right now sampling stuff.
Indeed. Well,
okay, my friend.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
And if you want to give us a little sample of what you're up to and what you think of what we're up to, give us a call at 427-3772 here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 427-3772. Our lines are open at the moment. And, hey, that was quick.
Hi, you're on free radio.
Hey, you guys are having a hemp festival?
Well, actually, we're not, but the town is, and it's down at the Civic Auditorium even as we speak.
Oh,
you know where
well,
that is?
That's definitely where I have to go.
Hey, you know, whip on down there, and if you want, give us a call first at 423-HUFF. We'd love to have you give out some flyers while you're out there. We can show
well,
you
I can
it.
Just tell you that I'm a chiropractor, and for certain medicinal purposes, I really think the government needs to relax their policies and allow people to reduce their need for really toxic medications.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're all adults here. I don't see what the government's business is interfering, whether it's, you know, marijuana for recreational purposes or marijuana for medicinal purposes. I mean, and marijuana generally, I think it's agreed, is so far less toxic than alcohol or cigarettes that it just isn't even funny. It's just, it's a huge joke, and it actually, it's an ominous kind of commentary on what's going on. The police departments use this as a fundraising activity, and the right wing uses it as a sort of a control process whereby you can actually, interestingly enough, I heard the, I don't know if you listened to Free Radio Santa Cruz earlier today, caller, but there was a thing called the Rules of Engagement about Waco. It was It's a very interesting film, which I haven't seen, but I heard the soundtrack to this morning, some of it. And one defense made by the agents who essentially precipitated a situation that killed women and children and many people in the Branch Davidian shootout or burnout, about 5 or 6 years ago. One defense that was being made was that it was that they claimed that there were drugs being used there, and that therefore they could use the military and these kind of military vehicles and tactics rather than police tactics. And the idea that, see, there's a, as you probably know, there's a posse comitatus law in this country that says you can't, the military cannot be used against the American people in police actions. It's just not, you know, not doable. You know, I guess there are exceptions where the National Guard is federalized and so forth, but generally speaking, you don't use the military against the American public. It's forbidden by law, except in cases of drug activity. And that's really an ominous kind of exception. I'm sorry, I had to throw that in at you, caller.
Well, thank you very much. I'm learning a little bit every day.
Hey, thank you for listening to Free Radio, and let us know how the Hemp Festival was. The next show is 6 to 8, my show anyway, on Thursday, but you can call in any time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
But the dolphins are running. A woman who cries, but the sea must provide a child to unravel the starless loving. First things first when you get to the sea. Rich man eats when he wishes, poor man whenever he can. I need a home, but my boots keep showing healing and peace that a fire provide, a place to unburden the brain of its sorrow. First things first when you get to the fire. A rich man eats when he wishes, poor man whenever he can. I need a song, but the spring is for sowing. Words to the wise that the earth must provide, a tune to untangle the middle of growing. First things first when you get to the land.
stuff on this show is from older times, because I'm an older guy. I'm your host, Bathrobes Pier Robert Norris. Call-in lines are open here on Bathrobes Pier's Broadsides. And that's 427-3772 if you want to help with the dialogue here, or challenge us. Tell us what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. Give us some information. Give us some updates. If you want to help with the sleeping...